Well, hello, everyone. We're going to take a quick moment here. Just everybody breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. All right, we got all that sinus stuff out. Go ahead and get it out. You know, you got to get everything out. It's all going around. It's crazy time here. We go from snow to rain and everything in between, but we can thank God for it, right? Rain's a sign of blessing. Every time he blessed something, it always rained. I always tell wedding couples that, and they don't believe me. Usually the bride is freaking out, and the groom's just like, I'm just ready to get this thing over with. So that being said, we can be thankful for that. So I want to let you know, I want you to let at least two people know that God has a purpose for me, and then either high five, hug them, whatever, handshake, whatever you got to do. Are you ready? On the count of three, do that. One, two, three. God has a purpose for me. Come on. Somebody go do it. Let somebody know. I'm hugging you online. I'm shaking your hand online. Thank you. There we go. We got knuckles. Let somebody know. We got to move. We got to interact in the house of the Lord. We kind of spread out today because we got seats for everybody. We got seats for everybody. With this rain, this sickness going around, we're trying to make sure everybody is ready to go. And so that's the perspective we're going to have today is God has a purpose for me. He has a plan for me. And as we go forward with that, we're continuing, if you're just joining us for the first time or hanging out with us over these next few weeks and months, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. Once again, just a reminder, it is Jesus's most famous sermon. Whether you grew up in church or not, you know about it. The golden rule itself comes from there, to do unto others as you would yourself. Oftentimes when you hear the Sermon on the Mount, it's usually used as a bludgeon. It's usually used as me trying to get away with my sin, so I'm calling you out for yours, right? Like, turn the other cheek after I done punched you four times, right? Like, that's just one of those things. Like, usually the Sermon on the Mount is treated that way, and it's Jesus's most well-known sermon, but the least obeyed, because it's so hard for each and every one of us to live out. And so where we're going to be is in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and Matthew chapter 5. Thank you, always. I can always count on that. The book of Matthew. Can we just write it? That's a novel for him. It's a his autobiography. I feel it. It's going to happen, whether he believes it or not. So the book of Matthew is where we're going to be, in chapter 5 through 7. And what my prayer is, again, just so we're reminded as we go through these next few weeks, is the word for the vine in 2026 is abide. My prayer is that we all abide in the Lord. And what my prayer is through this series is that revival would well up inside of our souls so much that it would overflow into the streets, into our families, into our neighborhoods, into our friendships, into our workplaces. And we would just share the hope of Jesus with everyone he places in our path. Because here's the thing. There's a heart cry of a generation right now that doesn't believe God has a purpose for them. They are searching for it, longing for it. You see it, and they're grasping at anything. And before we beat them up about it, we were there too. We just didn't have the internet, right? I mean, I had a rat tail when I was growing up because I watched wrestling. I still do. Judge me if you want. I don't get to watch it as often as I used to, but I had that. I was a Sting fan. Hopefully we don't get kicked off from that, but I had those things growing up from that and seeing those things. We wanted purpose. We are looking for purpose, and we are wondering where we can find that purpose. And this world will tell you that you can find it in politics, you can find it in an ideology, you can find it in an identity, you can find it in success, you can find it in living the American dream, but you and I know the truth is the only purpose that lasts is God's purpose for us. And that's what Jesus is going to unpack for us today as we dive into salt, light, and the law. Salt, light, and the law. It sounds like a country song, don't it? I'm just going to be honest with you, like, got some salt in the light and some law. My dog died. You know, the wife took it and my truck, so I'm walking around on riding on my lawnmower. Like, one of them things. We're good to go. So, salt, light, and the law. It also could be a good cafe for police officers. I'm just saying, for law enforcement. I think that would be a good thing for that. But salt, light, and the law. A reminder, as I make us laugh with that, Jesus is helping us unpack our purpose and why God made us, and reminds us that you and I are built to receive Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, to be in right relationship with God, but it doesn't stop there. We're called to share him with everyone he places in our path. And so for each and every one of us, that is my prayer for us. My prayer today for us is that the Holy Spirit would just remind us of God's purpose for us, because it takes every one of us living in our purpose for us to be united and go reach the world with the hope of the gospel. See, Jesus didn't build his church so that 12 disciples would do everything. He built his church so that everyone would do something. Big, small, whether you think it's too small, it's still great in his kingdom. Whether you think the vision that God's given you is too big, it is exactly what he created you for. And so that's what my prayer is today, is that the Holy Spirit would remind us of that. So if you've got your Bible today, we just wrapped up the Beatitudes last week. We're going to be in the next two sections of the Sermon on the Mount. It's going to be fun. Next week, we get to talk about anger and murder. That's going to be great. So it just came to me. Maybe the next week the title's going to be Murder, He Wrote. Huh? Somebody remind me of that because I'll forget it later. So that being said, where we go, so make sure you invite somebody next week to do that. But if you've got your Bible today, go ahead and get to Matthew 5, and we're going to start in verse 13. If you don't have a Bible, as always, our Vine Church apps, our Swiss Army knife, it's got kind of everything in there. You can follow along with us digitally on there. You can save notes, email notes to yourself, email it to a friend, go back to it throughout the week, listen to the sermon throughout the week, wherever you are, but also every week, Zach Candler and our Vine production team are going to make sure wherever you are around the world throughout the week that you know the Word of God, that it's on the screen, okay? So we are thankful for that. We are thankful that we get to live in a time such as this where we're not playing with PowerPoint slides and hoping that it works, right? So thankful for that. Did I bring that back? Maybe some people had public speaking and they didn't like that. They were scared of that. So that being said, we have something better. We got Zach Candler. That being said, wherever you are, and Tressa, we got the Candlers up there rocking and rolling this week. And usually also up there, we have Josh and from time to time, Eric and everybody else. I just tried to name everybody. And the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost up there the whole time. So thankful for that, working in the streams. So if you've got your Bible, you're ready to receive the word God has for us, give me an amen. Amen in God's house today. It starts, and we're going to start in verse 13. And Jesus says this. I believe this about us here in the Bible Belt when I describe us. So I'm just saying, we're the salt earth people. You know what I'm saying? Jesus says this, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Really quickly, as we are there, Jesus is talking about us being his salt. So let's talk about what salt does really quickly. Just a few things. First thing salt does is it disinfects, right? It is a type of disinfectant. It's a type of cleansing, and it can help you. It's not the best thing. The reason I know that is when you're little and you get a tooth popped out, what does mom do? She takes warm water with what? Salt. You got to gurgle that stuff, right? And if you don't believe that salt does something to you, go jump in the ocean at the beach here in a few weeks when you go and you didn't know about that cut somewhere. You find out. Woo! It'll make you say some bad words. You got to pray for forgiveness right there. Salt disinfects. This is important because in Jesus' time, they didn't have Lysol spray. Can I say that? I don't know. I did anyway. Disinfectant spray or disinfectant wipes. I don't know how they survived. I'm just saying. Glad Jesus didn't make me for that time. So I'm Sheldon running around with Lysol everywhere. They didn't have Lysol all the way through. So Jesus is sharing them that. Let's think about why he's teaching them that, because it's the same thing for us today. The world will try to sell you everything it can to cleanse you from your sin, to purify you from your sin, to disinfect you from your sin, and the stench of death that sin leaves upon you. It will do all it can to clean you up from the shame and guilt and your sin, will it not? It'll tell you you need this thing. It'll tell you you need that thing. It'll tell you to add this to your diet, this vitamin, this, that, blah, 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 blah. Like you get all these ads all the time for all these health and wellness things. It's almost become, health and wellness has almost become self-help, hasn't it? Like it just is. It just keeps growing and expanding. And it's just like, but I thought one thing worked, but apparently it doesn't. You got to add things. That, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that that's a great thing. But we just have to be careful with that because the world is trying to sell us something that only Jesus can give us. He is reminding us and teaching us that he alone is the thing that's missing. You ever just have a bland meal? What do you usually add to it? Salt. Jesus is showing us that that is the thing we are missing. It is something outside of us that can only be added into us, and he alone is that. He is the thing that we are missing. He is the seasoning that we are missing, because he alone can cleanse us, disinfect us from the shame and guilt that comes from sin, the penalty of sin itself. And here's the beauty of it. You and I get to be the can of spray for him. We get to be his vessel, his vehicle, in which he shares that cleansing through us. You and I can't save anybody, but we can sure talk about how he saved us and how he disinfected us and set us free. Salt also seasons things, as we just talked about, right? Salt can bring out the flavor of things. It can add a little something to it. See, the thing is, this world will tell you that your saltiness, your identity, is what brings out the flavor in others. And it seems to always fall short, doesn't it? It seems to always require more of you. It seems to always be to add more. Well, now you got to add pepper. Well, now you got to add Tony Sacheries, if you use that. Whatever that is. Wherever you go, you got to add paprika. You got to add this. You got to add that. The seasoning of ourself never seems to be enough, but the world will keep telling you, just add one more thing to it, and your salt will be able to help others. Just add this thing to it. Jesus is reminding us that we are his seasoning in the world. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 15. He reminds us that we are the pleasing aroma of Christ to those who are searching for him, but the stench of death to those who are in sin. You and I, our saltiness is a little different than what we hear the world say it, but we get to be Jesus's seasoning on earth. Church, how do we season each other? See, this is discipleship. Jesus is explaining discipleship for each and every one of us. He's saying, hey, take that step. If you're trying to be in Christian community, don't wait. Open the door. Have the opportunity to do it. Invite someone over. Have that conversation when somebody asks. Share that with them. Maybe it's a ministry opportunity that is not available. I will tell you, if you want to know anything about me, I will say, did God call you to do it? Do it. One of the things that I don't like doing here as your pastor is telling you what we should do. And people say, well, that's what the pastor's supposed to do. You're supposed to have the vision, and it's not. I would rather teach you to hear from the Holy Spirit and support you in it. Because that's what Jesus did to his disciples, didn't he? He taught them to listen to the Holy Spirit and then sent them out. He didn't say, hey, go cast out demons and heal people. Y'all will figure it out. You got it. And just walk away. I think there's more value in that. Not only did we talk about that, not only do we season and bring out the flavor of Jesus in the world, salt preserves. See, in our time, we got refrigerators, so we don't worry about spoilage as much as they did, but salt preserves things. It delays spoilage. Doesn't this world teach us that we are supposed to preserve ourselves? In the words of the great prophet Rod Stewart, forever young. Tough, yeah. I almost went to the other one. If you think. That was yesterday. That was Valentine's Day. That's married couple stuff. Y'all know it. Y'all heard it in your mind. Anyway, I'm done. I gotta get the zipper down first. So I'm good. Pray for me. I need it. So that was not seasoning. That was not soft. But wherever you are right now, it delays spoilage. We will do anything we can to stay forever young, won't we? We'll put on creams, we'll have surgeries, we'll change everything we can to try to put off death. Now, I'm not telling you you're not supposed to do those things. If doctor says you got cancer, we got to cut it out, go get it cut out. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, though, the world will say, if you just add this to your life, it will delay the spoilage of your life. And the truth of the matter is, as we already know, sin bats 1,000, death comes to us all. And the only freedom we have is through Christ Jesus. He is teaching us what we ended with last week in Matthew 16, 24 to 26. The only way that you and I preserve our life, preserve our eternity, stay forever young, is to die to ourselves. He starts that off by saying, if anyone is to be my disciple, not only do they deny themselves, he starts it off saying, you pick up your cross and you follow me daily. We die to ourselves all the time. Christian, I want you to know, for each and every one of us, death should not be something that surprises us, because we die to ourselves every day. It shouldn't be shocking to us what death does. Now, I know in our humanness it is, but the truth of the matter is, for you and I in Christ Jesus, it shouldn't be. Now, here's the flip side of that. Christians, oftentimes, we try to add our salt on top of Jesus's, don't we? We try to keep adding on top of it. We like to go and fuss at a pastor at a wrestling event, tell him he's going to hell for singing Rod Stewart in church on a Sunday morning. But we do that, don't we? We start adding our rules on top of it, our decisions on top of it. We try to be too salty, and we say, I got Jesus's salt, but it ain't enough. It ain't enough. I got to add a little something here on me. I got to add some chicken stock. I got to do something. I got to add something on top of this to make it work. And how does that usually work out, church? I don't know, maybe it works out for you. It never works out for me. When I try to get ahead of Jesus and I try to add to Jesus, it always falls short. But when I let Jesus be the only thing and everything, it seems to always work out. So we got to be careful. Now, I know we hear in this age and time, when I thought of saltiness when I went there, I thought of Carthage. But apparently, as I've grown older and I've read about it, it could have been a myth. But if you remember in Carthage what Rome did, remember they salted the earth and they stopped the growth of others because they sowed salt in the soil. It's also in the Bible if you ever want to read about that. But we won't open that to get there. That being said, we've learned about salt. Let's go on to 14 through 16, a very familiar for us, and see what Jesus teaches us about our purpose when it comes. He tells us to be salt, to be the seasoning, be his seasoning to the world, to share how he delays spoilage for us, to share how he makes it better and he sets us apart, and how we can be forever young in him, and how each and every one of us can be cleansed from sin in him. And he goes on to say this next: you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We always know this little light of mine, right? We're going to teach our children. We're going to let it shine. You see, Jesus is talking about his light, right? His light. Jesus is the light. Remember, in the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1 through 5, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and formless. Darkness was over the land. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and God said, let there be light. Boom, there was light. And he saw that it was good. And so he separated light from darkness. He called the light day and darkness night, and there was morning and evening on the very first day. John echoes it in John 1, verse 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things have been made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus, the light. Jesus is saying we are his light to the world, his vessel to the world. So let's think about this. Why in the world are we shocked that we are created to be in a time where people hate us as Christians? It ain't as bad as it could be. It ain't as bad as it's been before. But why are we so surprised that it is so dark for Christians? Where does light shine best? In the darkest night, in the darkest dark. That's how we let his light shine. The church, may we be reminded of that, but here's the beauty of it to you and I. How do we get his light, and how do we share his light? Well, Jesus said that he would send something upon us before he ascended to heaven. He tells the disciples that the Holy Spirit would fall. And when you hear about Acts 2 church and it growing, you hear the Holy Spirit falling like fire. You and I have the Holy Spirit inside of us, cleansing us, purifying us, the Holy Spirit fire inside of us. But here's the beauty about that. You and I choose how bright it burns by whether we surrender to the Holy Spirit's prompt or neglect it. That is our choice. The question is, how bright does that light shine? Well, Jesus says the easiest way we can do it is by our good deed. It's to love others, of love God, love others. And if you say, well, man, I don't know how to do good deeds. I don't know if I'm a great person. Well, I want you to go back to what your mother and father taught you is the first thing you probably should do. Say please and say thank you to whoever serves you today at lunch. And watch how that door opens. Just open the door right away. I'm terrible about doing that at times. We all get there. But say please and say thank you and watch what Jesus will do through that. Here's the real question, church, that Jesus pressed on me that I will share with you. How many lost people do you know that you can be his light to, that you can be his salt to? How many of those do you know that are stuck in the dark? And if you say, I don't know any, ask God to bring one to you, because I promise you he will. Last time I checked, there are 2 billion people that profess Jesus as Lord, and the people who don't outnumber Christians 3-1. There's opportunity to know those in the dark. And now here's the beauty of it. How many of those that you do know or are praying for will see his light in you to step out of the dark. Now, you and I can't save them. Only he can. But we get to share his light with him. See, oftentimes when I talk about this Holy Spirit fire inside of us, we like to separate our faith from the mission that Jesus has called us to do. What does he say in Matthew 28? At the very end, go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always until the very end of the age. That is the commission that Jesus has sent us on. But oftentimes we'll let our faith separate us from that. We'll let our faith separate from either lost people coming to know the Lord or growing in the Lord while we are still here. And it makes that Holy Spirit light be but a flicker. When God himself is called a consuming fire, what is the Holy Spirit? It is the presence of who, church? God. So if God's a consuming fire and we have the Holy Spirit fire inside of us, man, we are ready to go. Like we like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bring your fire. I got mine. Let's go. Like I'm ready to go. Come bring it. I'm stepping into it. I'm not afraid of it. Oh, how I wish I could always have that passion and fire though. When I don't, I realize I've separated my faith in Christ from the mission he's called me upon. Maybe that's where you are. I pray today that you would trust him and share him with everyone, because the best way to get that Holy Spirit fire rekindled inside of you is share with someone how Jesus saved you. Because it reminds you most of when you were in the dark, when you had no hope, when you had no light, when you were searching in everything. Every lighter you picked up had nothing in it. Every match you tried to strike to get a light always, always, always would not light. And then you looked up. It was a city on a hill. Someone shared his light with you. Someone shared Jesus with you. Changed everything. That's what we get to be, church. A reminder when we do that, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him, when we are his salt and light. That's why we share him with everyone. So how in the world do you share this salt and light? Because it ends up, it'd be great to end here on verse 16 and be like, let your good deeds shine. Okay, so I'm lining up my good deeds. I'm ready. And it always seems to outweigh my bad because I forget the bad deeds I do, right? Like, it's just like, oh, yeah, it's like Bugs Bunny counting money, right? Like, one for you, three for me. One for you, three for me. Like, I always seem to remember the good deeds I do better than the bad deeds that I did. But Jesus says there's something more. He says this in verse 17 through 20. We're going to go through all of it, all right? So if you're there, we're actually going to go through that whole part right here. It says this. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. I don't know about you, but that, man, that makes me happy. Everything is accomplished. That gets me excited. He goes on to say, therefore, if anyone sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly, will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So it isn't just our good deeds. There's something more there. See, to this Jewish audience, you would have heard, some pearls would have been clutched. You would have heard, oh, would you please pass the jelly? That's what Jesus said right there. It's a gasp to them. So when Jesus says this, you and I miss this a little bit. So let's be reminded of what this is. When Jesus talks about this, they believe to the Jewish people, the only way to be made righteous with God is to keep the law. And it wasn't just keeping the law. Jesus took it a step further and said, hey, it ain't just keeping the law, the first five books of the Bible. You got to surpass the righteousness of the Pharisee. Now, reminder, we'll talk about the Pharisees more in the coming weeks, right, when it comes to Jesus talking to them, but also we know with Easter coming up. So just a reminder of who the Pharisees are. They are a devout sect of following Jesus, okay? The Pharisees believe in the law, the first five books of the Bible, the law that Moses gave. They also believe in Levitical law, the rest of what you read, and they follow the rabbi or rabbinic teachings on the law, which ends up being about 613, give or take. So let's just make it a nice round number, 600 plus laws that you had to keep to be made righteous with God. This is why Jesus always called them out on it, because they thought they could achieve it. They thought they could keep all 600 laws at all times and do it. And how dare you anybody else try to do it on their own? Because we can do it. And their pride got in the way because God didn't come for them to be religious to be righteous. He came and sent Jesus so that we could be in relationship with him to be righteous. And so when the Jews heard this, all of a sudden that audience that Jesus is talking to just heard the feel good of salt and light and said, whoa, how do we get to be there? And Jesus says, hey, your righteousness has to surpass the Pharisee. I don't know about you, but my righteousness couldn't surpass that. We'll all break the Ten Commandments, as Jesus gets probably on the way out the door today. But what I love is Jesus is saying, here's the thing. You can't fulfill it, but I can. I can. And that's what he came to do. That's why we don't throw away the Old Testament and say the Old Testament doesn't matter because Jesus has fulfilled the law. Remember, he'll go on to say that the law and prophets, when he says the law and prophets, this is what he is pointing to. Hang on, two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He says that's the new command he gives us, but that everything he did hangs on that. The fulfillment of the law hangs on that. Love God, love others. Now, I don't know about you, but that's going to take me a lifetime to figure out before he calls me home, but that's a lot easier for me to keep up with than 600 plus laws. That's the way we are made righteous. He reminds us that you and I can't do it. And that's as we talked about last week, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. This is a picture of God's mercy for us because we couldn't. We couldn't do that. You and I can't be perfect. We can't fulfill the law. You and I can't keep these 600 things to be made righteous. We can't do that, but Jesus can. That's why we teach the word of God and we don't stray from it. As he says, hey, whoever teaches the least of these commands and makes others follow the least of them will be least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in heaven. That's why we point to God's word. Yes, I told you last week, hey, yes, Jesus loves me, but not just because the Bible tells me so. That's the cherry on top. That's the icing on top, the roadmap to how I get to live out, love God, love others. It's a story that I get to be written in, but it's because Jesus first loved me that I even have a chance. I even have a part in it. So now Jesus gives this wonderful thing of what we are created for. A reminder in the Westminster Catechism, what we are called to be is we are called to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That is why you and I are created. Jesus is saying, hey, not only are we to do that, in doing that, we will love God, love others, and share him with everyone he places in our path. That's the question. Are we trying to be righteous like the Pharisees? Because that's adding too much of our salt. That's trying to add to the flame ourselves that will eventually burn out. Are we trying to be that? Or are we trusting Jesus, being clothed in his righteousness alone, who lives the perfect sinless life we can't live, who fulfills the law for us? What are we doing? And see, I can't tell you. Only you know that. Only you know that. Right now, the Holy Spirit may be prompting you to do something great. Let's walk through it together as a church, whatever that is. Right now, it may be to call that person. Right now, it may be to reach out to that person. Right now, it may be that lost person you met at the supermarket last year that you hadn't given a fleeting thought about, and today it just hits you. I need to go to that supermarket today. And I bet you there's going to be a cashier standing there if that's who it was. And guess who's going to ring you up? Because God's got a plan for you. He has a purpose for you and me. You know how I know it? Because we see each other right now. Otherwise, you'd be in heaven cheering me on from up there, or I'd be up there cheering you on from up there. God's got a purpose. Now, we can live in it, or we can reject it. It's our choice. But if we choose to live in it, it's not going to be easy. But what we will live out is being his thought, seasoning the world. We'll share his light and everything we do because he is the one who fulfilled the law. I don't know about you, but that's grace. That's mercy. That God doesn't put it upon me to fulfill the law. How did it start? He tells Adam and Eve, you got one law to keep. Don't eat from this tree. That's it. Can't even keep that. I wouldn't be able to either. Before I give them a bad rap, I wouldn't be able to either. Adam and Eve ratted each other out. I would have ratted out something else. Hey, did you see that donkey over there? That donkey told me to do that. It was that. Did you see that monkey over there? That's the one who told me to do it. He was eating a banana and said the apple tastes better. I don't know. Like one of them things. Like that's what I would do. Then it grew to 600 plus because God was showing us his plan that you and I could have never kept it from the beginning. And yet he still had already planned Jesus' life, death, and resurrection before we ever broke that law. Salt, light, and law. What's the small things Jesus has called you to do? Because in the end, light can be very small. Salt can be very small. The law may or may not be very small. We won't open that, but I will say this. Jesus uses the small things to accomplish his purpose, doesn't he? All throughout his word, it's the small thing. Jesus even says the mustard seed. You can move this mountain if you have that faith. And sure enough, that mountain got moved, whether you know it or not. It ended up getting moved. When the temple was torn down in AD 70, that mountain that Jesus pointed to is gone. They moved it. I don't know whose faith moved it. Somebody moved it. Eventually, that same mountain he'll come back on. Apparently, it's on a fault line, and it could separate in an earthquake. It's going to be even better, right where the temple mount is. It's crazy, but we won't open that. That's another time, another day. But God's purpose for our life. Well, that small thing, would you trust him with it? No. What's that please and thank you he's going to prompt you for today? Would you trust him with it? That little thing, would you trust him with it? See, again, God has a purpose for me. We are made to glorify God and enjoy his presence forever. But here's the kicker. Only the righteous get to do that. Those of us who are not free from sin can't do that. Only the righteous can do that. And yet God made a way through his one and only Son so that you and I could be made righteous. You and I. Paul writes it this way in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. He says this. He says, God made him, that is Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, surpassing the righteousness of the Pharisee. See, as we read this right now, I want to remind you again, God does not create people to go to hell. We choose it. God creates you and I to be in relationship with him, but we choose to reject him. We choose to reject the Holy Spirit's prompt. We choose to reject the righteousness, the cleansing from sin that Jesus has given us. Because we chase the world's salt. We chase the world's light. We chase the religion of the Pharisees. We think that we can work it out. And only when we come to the end of ourselves and understand that we have no way to get out of the depravity of our sin, the brokenness of our sin, the shame, the guilt, the penalty of death that our sin brings, that we would have to be made righteous with God. Only then do we understand Jesus' sacrifice and surrender and trust him with it. What are you choosing today? Your righteousness? Because if you can keep them 600 plus laws, I want to meet you. Because I've yet to meet somebody who can. Or do you want to trust the one who's already fulfilled it for you, that's clothing you in his righteousness, be made in right relationship with God, the thing that you are searching for that gives you the purpose for your life? And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, the reason we do what we do every week is that to remind us who are in Christ Jesus what we are created for, what we are made for, the purpose that God has for each and every one of us, and to be encouraged, sometimes challenged, to be able to live that out. For others of us, maybe for the first time, you're realizing that you have lived your life trying to have your salt and your light be your righteousness, your good works be your righteousness, and it's just now hitting you that it'll never equal, it'll never add up. And so today it lays before you this opportunity. There's a crossroads. You have a choice to make today. Will you continue trying to live in your righteousness, or will you accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who lives the perfect sinless life you and I couldn't live? The same sin that separated us from God, now Jesus fulfills that law for us. He dies the death we deserve, paying the penalty for that sin on the cross so that we can now be in right relationship with God. And he loves us enough, he's not gonna stay dead, but rises again on the third day so that we can have life and have it to the full, live fully in what you and I were created to be, not just in eternity, but here, right now, in right relationship with God and sharing him with everyone in our path. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're gonna say this prayer. Not the words of this prayer that saves you, it's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat the words of this prayer of faith after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, die the death I deserve, pay the penalty for my sins on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day, that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, whether you're online listening to this or you're in the house today and for the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have accepted this gift of salvation that he has given you. You now are made righteous with God by trusting him as your Lord and Savior to fully live out what God created you for, what you were made for. For the first time you have done that. On the count of three, I'm gonna ask you to boldly raise your hand. One, two, three. If you're in the house, you can raise your hand. If you're online, you can raise a hand. You can shoot us a message throughout all of our social media or even at hello@thevine.tv. We would love to celebrate this decision with you, because here's the truth of the matter. The way that you fully live out God's purpose for your life is to be connected with a local church near you. And if you can't be connected with us, we would love to connect you with one that is near you. And for the rest of us right now, we're about to step into this time of worship. Today can be a challenging time, but also I pray that it's an encouraging time. The challenging time, if you want to go ahead and stand up, the challenge of it is that you and I can never be righteous like the Pharisees. The beauty of it is that we get to be Jesus's salt and light to his world. So we can give him the worship, the praise, and the glory he deserves. And we can say, thank you, Jesus, that we are free, and we can give him the amen that he deserves. So let's worship together.
Of sin and oh sweet liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I am free. Amen.
Everyone, there we go. That's the freedom we get to share with everyone He places in our path. And so our prayer is this week, whoever's in the darkness, Jesus reveals it to us and we share His light by living out love God, love others, because next week's going to be fun. Murder, He Wrote. It's going to be great. We're going to be talking about the thing, honestly, that all of us struggle with, and it's a five-letter word, anger. It's going to be great. And there's probably some four-letter words that are associated with it, love. That's the answer. So that being said, wherever you are, we'd love to see your smiling face next week.